let's take it back. I don't really have a title. But it says in the Bible we have an adversary. Jesus tells us. His name is Satan. Now, although I may talk a little bit about him, I'm not going to give him credit for anything. I just want to let you know this is something we all know. I knew it before, but I got revelation of it. That means it's up here, and it finally got through this thick thin part up here and got down in here. And praise God, my heart beats fast and I go to breathing faster every time I get thinking about it. But I spent several years, you know, going to church here, not seeing a lot of stuff that I hear Brother Scotty talking about and I hear other people talking about in church. And I would sit right there on that front row and, Lord, where's mine? Well, he'd bless me some, don't get me wrong. The Lord didn't just leave me out in the cold. But somebody get a revelation about something and speak it. Brother Scotty get it. Sister Teresa get it. April get it. And I said, Lord, where's mine? It dawned on me a few months ago. Brother Scotty's preaching. And he said it more than once. He said, Lord woke him up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and have him to read a scripture. And y'all probably know which one I'm talking about. We're going to get to it before we get to the end. But don't you know, it fell out of here into here. So the Lord, if the Lord woke him up, that's important. Now, all of God's word's important. But there's something in there. And Scotty said, it transformed my life. And I said, Lord, I want that transformation. Now, I made some victories and gained ahead. Then I'd kind of fall back. But praise God, I got the victory. Nothing bothers me. Nothing moves me. I'm going to ask you now, can you tell that difference? Well, she told the truth. But on the inside, that's the way it is. And sometimes outwardly, I might not act like it. But on the inside, nothing moves me. Because you know what? I found out. I told Brother Scotty, we can't lose. There ain't but one way a born-again Christian can lose. And that's to believe a lie. That's the only way. Believe a lie and have truth. If you got your Bibles, turn to John 8:44. And if you don't, it's up there on the screen. And this is Jesus talking. Now, I want to come over here to verse 31. I didn't give Beth this scripture. This whole conversation starts out with this, and I want you to take note of this. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You notice that first part, to the Jews that believed in him. And he gives them nearly a whole page of conversation here in words. In verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, in the Amplified, it says, you are of your father, the devil. It is your will to practice the desires which are characteristic of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truths. Those last few words, lies and half-truths, is what defeats us. And why does that defeat us? Because we know that Jesus defeated everything on the cross for a born-again Christian. The only way it can defeat us, if we do one thing and do it wrong. When we believe the lie and the half-truths over the word, we're going to be defeated. It's as plain and simple as that. That was what happened to me. That's what happens to all of us. Now, granted, a lot of times whenever I believe stuff that I didn't think the Lord was helping me, when he actually was, in the background I couldn't tell it, it's because I was leaning toward what it looked like. That's the deceit, the lies, and the half-truth. That is the only authority Satan has. The only authority, if you want to give him that, or power, whatever word you want to give it. He has none else, nothing, for a born-again believer. He can't hurt you. He can't kill you. All he can do is influence you, because he knows how we're made. We're wondrously made, the Bible tells us. We're made in the image of God. Except He gave us this fleshly body to deal with living on this earth, especially after the sin curse. The earth is still cursed by sin, although God still rules it. But man, it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 7, God created man in his own image. I'm going to paraphrase. And he told them to go multiply and to have dominion over everything on the earth. That means to rule it. You know what happened? Man disobeyed. He believed the lie and he lost his rule. He handed it straight over to Satan. Satan knew how we were made. He knew how God made us. So he used a lie, tricked Adam and Eve, mankind in the garden. And everybody, I heard other people say, well, man, if I want to kick their rear end or something. It don't matter. If it had been me there, I'd have done something and become disobedient. Because God said, he looked at man and said he knew it was continually in his heart to do evil. It's a choice. Plain and simple. It's a choice. Eve decided to disobey. Adam decided to join in it. They ended up giving rule to Satan over this world. God made a way to cover them in the form that it says in the Bible, he made skins to cover their nakedness. Their nakedness is a sign of their disobedience, conviction, judgment, condemnation. When God made those skins from animals, blood had to be shed. He killed the animals. That's a type and a form of things to come. We fast forward hundreds of years, God made a way for the children of Israel. He told Abraham, all the nations of the world is going to be blessed through you, and I'm going to bless your seed. The children of Israel became Israel after Jacob had his name changed by the Lord when he wrestled with the angel. That's the reason they have their name Israel. Now, to cover their sin, God used the blood of animals for a long time. And then he gave us what's known as a more sure, better covenant. Woo! That's awesome to me. I mean, it hit me just right here. We can't lose. God gave us mankind a way in the first place to rule the world. Man messed it up. God give another way that's more better, more sure. It can't be messed up except one way. The same way the first time. Believe the lie. If you believe the lie and the half-truths of anything except what's in this word, you're going to become deceived. At least part way. Now you can skip back and forth, and you're going to end up being like a soldier that runs out and he gets his rear end whooped and he comes back and he gets a little better and goes out and gets whooped again. He's going to keep getting whooped. But I tell you what, it tells us in Colossians 2:15 that Jesus defeated all things on the cross and made a show of them openly. All things will be anything, evil spirits, any beings, all things. He defeated it. And it tells us that as Jesus is in this world, so are we. So when Jesus says it is finished on the cross, he finished all the work God gave him and done God's will for us on the cross. He only has one thing left to do, and it doesn't pertain to that, but the whole story is to present the church without blemish to the Lord God Almighty after he condemns and brings his wrath on this world. We'll be in there. If you overcome, you'll be able to wear the raiment of white. And it says in Revelations, in every instance that Jesus sent the letter to the church of every church in Revelations, at the end he says, to him shall overcome, and he gives them a reward. Now, when we overcome, we're going to receive our reward. But God didn't mean for us to just barely overcome and barely make it inside the door. He gave us plenty of things. As it says in John 10:10, I believe it's John 10:10, to have life and have life more abundantly. He gave us life through eternal salvation and have life more abundantly through the same way, but it's here on earth. And we've got plenty to fight with. We don't have to fight anything except one thing, us and the lie. And the reason I know is, you know, I've got experience at it. I believe the lie and the half-truth for a while. The one thing that we have to remember, any believer has to remember, is that Satan defeated us with a lie legally. You say, well, how did he do that if it's a lie? He knew how we was made. He couldn't come in and take over the world because it's against God's law, God created the world. God is the ruler of all things. We'll see in a minute. So being as crafty and deceitful as he is and the father of it, he found and realized there's a way to defeat man. You know why he wants to defeat man? Because Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, we're made in God's image. God meant to make man in his image to go and multiply in the world so there'd be God all over the world. Not himself, but his image. That's what he told him to do. Satan come in and he tricked mankind and he took the rule of the world, although we still have to live here. But he done it legally. In other words, he didn't break any of God's laws to do it. He just tricked us and did it. Now, God gave the covenant to the Israelites of the shedding of blood, because it says, I can't remember if it's Hebrews or 1 Peter, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It means sin can't be taken away. So he afforded the blood of animals to cover the sin for a while. Then he gave us the more sure, that was a legal way, that's according to God's way. If you look at things objectively, any law only does one thing. It either convicts you or it doesn't. You're either guilty or not guilty. There's no in between. Now, mankind makes a gray area. I'm going to get into that. But any law, if it says, you know, you should not speed, you better not speed. If you speed, you're breaking the law. The difference between man's law and God's law is man has to catch you at it and then sentence you. God doesn't have to catch you at it because it's evident. God knows our hearts. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's everywhere. So whenever you break God's law and you sin, he knows it instantly. You know why? Because we are made in his image. And he is who he is. He's creator. Therefore, for him to give us a legal way to reconcile ourselves back to him, he set up the shedding of blood for a season. And then he set up to where all the world, you remember he told Abraham, like I just said, I will bless all nations in your name. In Acts chapter 10, he completed that when Cornelius, the angel came to Cornelius and talked to him and gave him to Peter in the dream. And we, you know, in the beginning, salvation was only offered to the Jews, God's people. The way the Bible looks at things, there's only two kinds of people in the world, especially in the Old Testament. There are Israelites, God's chosen people, and Gentiles. We are Gentiles. If you're not, you know, truly a descendant or lived at the time of those people, then you're a Gentile. We're Gentiles. Acts chapter 10, God afforded for the Gentiles to have the promise. That's awesome. I mean, all we got to do is just believe. That's it. And act like we believe. And I don't mean like act as in putting on an act. I mean, like it says in the book of James, have works worthy of what you believe. If you do your works and you don't believe it, it's dead. If you believe it and don't have any works, you have no evidence. You know, somebody told me one time, said, I believe in God. And they did. And I told them, I knew the person. I said, you know, I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You know how I am. But I said, I'm going to point out something to you. And it's not that me or anybody else is any better than you, but what evidence do you have that you believe in God? Are you born again? Well, yeah, I think so. I said, I'm sorry to tell you, you need to talk to God. I said, I know I'm born again. I got a relationship with my Father in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, I can go to the Bible and show you where it happened and how it came to me. Can you do that? They said, well, no. I said, okay, do you go to church anywhere? Well, used to. See, that's not evidence worthy of your faith. And I tried to explain that to them, and they believed the lie, because in a few minutes they didn't want to hear it no more. I said, well, you know, I don't want to talk about it no more. Said, okay. At that point, you can't do anything because you're beating on a dead wall. But my point is, Satan defeated us legally. God gave us a legal way back to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot fail. It will not fail. It has not failed. A lot of people may say, well, there's still a lot of lost people in the world. That's because there's a lot of lost people in the world because, one, they choose not to believe. The Father in heaven sent the Lord Jesus. I'm going to change my phrasing about that. I say Lord Jesus Christ. the Lord Christ Jesus to earth. The reason I say that, because Jesus' name is Jesus. His title is the Christ, the anointed one of God. God sent his son, Christ Jesus, to earth to die for us. We've all heard this. We all know this. But praise God, whenever I say it and it's sunk down in my heart, it makes me realize how much God loves me. And then I think about all the things he did for me all my life whenever I never deserved them anyway. But I wasted years with head knowledge, not letting it get into my heart and becoming heart knowledge of God and who he is. And now here I am, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say sometimes. I want to, you know. And I can't do that. I don't talk that fast. If I do, I'll bite my tongue or you can't understand me. That's just my hick. But anyway, Satan did it legally. God gave it back to us legally. Now, Christ gave it to us legally, John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Let me translate that. If you want to go to heaven and be born again, you got to go to Jesus first. Jesus paid the price. He's holding the receipt, if you want to accept it, to put it in man's terms. You know what the receipt is? It's joy that I have. The world can't take it away. Oh, man. This anointing that I have, we all got it. The world can't take it away. This Holy Spirit I have inside, the world can't take it away. They didn't give it. They can't take it away. And I know I can't sing, but that's one of our songs. But praise God inside of me. It's just, whew. And Satan can't destroy man. What I mean by that, he cannot legally put his hand on any man and destroy him. Now, he can legally lie to any man, and we see it evident in the lost world. I can't go into any detail about it, and I'm not going to. I served on the grand jury for 3 days this past week, or last week, wasn't it? 48 cases, me and 17 other people heard. Three of them were in one class, one category. 90% of the other 45 were in one category, drugs, all related. Make no mistake, he is very crafty. He is a spiritual being. And there's something else, a born-again believer. Now, the born-again people, we have a hope. If you're not born again, you ain't got no hope whatsoever. You ain't got nothing to fight against him with except willpower, and that is not enough. If it is, then nobody have a problem with Satan. He influences lost man enough. The lost man uses drugs. I mean, we all see it, we hear about it. Fights, drugs, alcohol, suicides. A whole generation of people that's not the product of that. They're the product of the generation before them that didn't come to God and didn't serve God and pass that on to the generation that's here now. Therefore, it's not a dying lost cause, but it looks like it is, and Satan wants it to make all the believers say, well, there's no use in fighting. God says that's not true. God says you cannot lose. Because if you say and think that you can lose, that makes Jesus' work of none effect. That means he did it in vain. It ain't worth nothing. And Jesus said, if you believe that, you're condemned already. I'm not condemned. So Christ gave man a legal way back to God. Satan can't do nothing with it. The only thing he can do, as I said before, he can influence you with lies and half-truth, or us, any of us. Beth, would you put up Philippians chapter 2, 10 and 11, please? Now, God has a court. I'm going to have another scripture in a minute that shows in the Bible God has a court. just like we would think about a court of law, a legal court. And his terms are, this is his terms, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in submission of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess and openly acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, sovereign God, to the glory of God the Father. That's God's terms, plain and simple. And it's not like it's, you know, he's being, you know, no, God's not like a old man grandfather sitting up there and saying, oh, okay, they're doing what they want to do and I can't do nothing about it. But he also is not standing up there with a hammer in his hand ready to squash everything that comes at him. God is love. But God is also has three loves. I don't have the scripture for them. I'll get them for you. Not today. Justice, righteousness, and man. He loves us so much. John 3:16 tells us he gave Jesus to die in our place. Because of the sin in our lives and the dominion of sin in our lives, only one thing can pay for it, blood. When you shed blood, well, you have to die for it. The animals died. It ain't meaning you can cut your finger a little bit and shed a little blood. No, it's not it. You have to die to pay for that price. Jesus died legally. So Satan stole it legally. Christ reclaimed it legally. Now God now offers it legally, and we're going to get to the next phase, spiritually. A born-again believer better understand that though we live in this world, there is a more real world that existed way before we did, and this world did, the spiritual world. And we will see it after we pass out of this world through death. We will live in it. God give us everything we need, all the weapons, all the ammunition, all the supplies to live in this world and fight in that world. And until the believer has it in their heart and knows how to use it, bless their heart. I'm going to pray for them. I don't know what else to say. You're going to be defeated if that's who the person is that can hear my voice or is here today. I was there once, but I did something. Brother Scotty kept saying, meditate. Read the Word. And I knew about all that. My daddy taught me about all that. Study to show thyself an approved workman before God. I knew about that. I've read the Word. I've studied the Word. I didn't realize how long I'd been up here once a month until I get to looking back when I started it. Oh my God, I got a stack of stuff like that. Notes and all kinds of stuff. But it don't matter about that. What matters is this and this. And what I do with it. Now, Beth, you put up Daniel chapter 4, verses 25 and 26, please. And I said a while ago that Satan rules this world, but God rules all. The reason Satan rules in this world is because he legally stole it from man, so to speak. And man stupidly got tricked into it. I mean, it's just... I see, that's what I see it is. We did it. Do what? Daniel chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And some people say, well, you can't go back in the Old Testament before Christ came and then read this and do that. Well, yes, you can. Now, most of the Old Testament is a history and story and the prophetic scripture for Israel. But Paul said all scripture is good for what? Reproof and instructions in righteousness. We're made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read these verses, but the last part of them is one that we're going to concentrate on. It says, that you shall be driven from mankind, and he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel is, through or Lord is through Daniel, about an interpretation of a dream is what this is about. That you shall be driven from mankind, and your dwelling place shall be with the beasts of the field, and that you be given grass to eat like the cattle, and be wet with the dew of heaven, and seven periods of time shall pass over you, until you know, this is the part I want you to concentrate on, until you know without any doubt that the Most High God rules over the kingdom of mankind, and he bestows it to whomever he desires. And verse 26 says, and in that it was commanded to leave the stump, with the roots of the tree in the earth, your kingdom shall be restored to you after you recognize and understand fully that heaven rules. See, a lot of people get confused. They say, well, how can Satan do this and do that if God's all-powerful? That's how come. Satan legally stole the rule of this world from man. God still owns it. He made it. You can't take that away. We got it in Word right there in Scripture. But Satan legally did that. Now, we have been redeemed. The curse of the earth still remains. But what does it say in Genesis chapter 8, I believe it's verse 22? Brother Scotty tells us, as long as the earth remains, there'll be summer and winter and seed time and harvest. So the earth remains. Okay, Satan took the rule and the earth remains, so he still got rule. That's the reason we see so much of the stuff that we see nowadays. And he's been working at it for decades and generations in the background, deceiving, lying, stealing, and destroying. Through that way, he can't hurt and can't destroy on his own, he can't touch, but he can use lies and half-truths to deceive and cause mankind to destroy himself, even born-again believers, if at all possible. That's the reason I tell our kids, I've told them, and I tell our boys a lot of things they want to kid with me about. I had a conversation with Blake over here on the way over here, and I tell them, so I'm not going to kid about that. April's got, which I knew it already, but it's been a revelation to me too. She's got notes up all over the house, and I think one in the car. Your seeds are words. Oh, your words are seeds. So I tell the boys, I'm not going to kid about that. They want to kid, oh, this is funny, that's funny, we're going to talk about it. It's not anything profane or corrupt. It's just, it corrupts the mind. Because your mind, what goes in your mind, in your eyes, in your ears, goes in here. Eventually it's going to come out. And you get too much of the wrong thing, what's going to come out? The wrong thing. So I tell them, I'm not going to kid about that. We're going to be serious about it. Plus, it's a sign of maturity, and I'm trying to get them up a level or two. But as believers, we've been redeemed. Beth, we put up Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. And this is the proof that we have been redeemed legally, and this is how we stand. Christ purchased our freedom and redeemed us from the curse of the law and its condemnation by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs crucified on a tree, the cross. He paid it. God said so right here. Nobody can argue about that. A lot of people try to, but you can't. Now, we see legally that we've been redeemed. God's got that gift for us, a gift of salvation, redemption. Christ did the atoning work. All we have to do is believe. And God knows the heart. You know what that phrase means? Anybody in the world can fool me or fool you for a little while, at least for a little while, maybe for a long time by acting the way they act and going along with what they say. You can't fool God like that. You can come to church every day of the week if the church doors are open. You can do every good deed there is to do. But if you don't have in your heart what it takes on God's terms and purchase this freedom and redemption that's been given to us on God's terms in His court legally, you will not be born again to where you can live, be born again, be redeemed, be saved from the second death and hell and torment spiritually. You can't live that way. Now, I know people, I heard of people back in the 70s, you know, I've been in services as a kid, the pastor's wife, the pastor's kids, and sometimes people had been in church all their life, 20 years, getting born again. At some point, that facade, that act, whatever's going on, is going to fall. And when it does, you ain't got but one thing left. Jesus, the Christ. When Zachary went off to do his military thing, I gave him a Bible. My daddy used to own it, had his name in it. And I wrote in it, I said, Lord, give me something to tell him that will help him. That's all I wanted. And the Lord told me to write this in it. And I wrote, Zachary, we love you and we pray for you every day. And remember, God and Jesus does not have to be your last resort. It's really, I don't know if you call it weird or odd, but 99% of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I don't know what the numbers are, Christ, turning to Christ in man's, in his life, to be born again is usually the last resort. Being where I'm at and knowing what I know in my heart, I shake my head at myself. I'm not going to judge anybody else. I'm going to judge me. I shake my head at myself. Why did I do that? Lies. Half-truth. Steal. Kill. Destroy. Satan's trying to destroy me. He lied to me when I was little. I lived for years thinking I was born again, just backslid worse than any person I'd ever known in my life. 20-something years. I wasn't born again. I didn't have anything in here that proved that I had a relationship with the Lord. Now I do. And it felt good. Praise God. The only, as I said before, the only way the believer is defeated because he believes the lie, not the truth. And I quoted John 14:6, what is the truth? Jesus said, what? I am the way, the truth. It also says in John 17:17, Jesus is praying, it says, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. It says in John 1:1, in the beginning the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it says in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. You put all of those scriptures together with all the scriptures that I've already used, it's all the proof that any person should need to listen to the Holy Spirit pull them toward the spiritual side of their life and redeem and reconcile themselves back to the Lord God Almighty. It's all the proof any believer should have whatsoever. And it's not that you have to listen to a person, but although it will help. Because if you're not listening, and what I mean by listening, hearing, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You put it all in one sentence, faith coming by the hearing the word of God. When you, what that word means hearing is, pay attention, obey. That's the reason I believe people, like I said in the 70s, I was in church service, people have been to church 10, 15, 20 years and become born again. They went to church. Their flesh ears heard the word. And what have we been learning from? One thing, if I hadn't learned anything in all the lessons that Sister Teresa has been bringing forth, I learned one that sticks with me. I want to have hearing ears. And I asked the Lord, before she ever brought it out, I asked the Lord, how do I have hearing ears? Guess what? A week or two later, she told me through the word and the scripture, if I want hearing ears, I got to have a willing heart. Oh, praise God. That's simple. You know, even I can do that. And for the people that don't know me real well, in my natural life, I do things meaning well, but sometimes they don't go the way I plan. It's a gift. But in my spirit side, I used to couldn't discern stuff. And I met April, and I believe God gives people special anointings in it to, even before they're born again, to discern things spiritually. You know, I've never been the type of person to get around people too much. Every once in a while it happened. Not much in my life before I was born again. So, they ain't done nothing wrong, but I just don't feel right being around them. It don't feel good. Well, April was the opposite. She could do that before she was born again. She said, I don't like that situation. Going shopping, I don't want to go down that aisle. You know, I wasn't born again. Why not? That gummy looks like every other aisle, except it's got beans and not, you know, jelly or something. She said, I just don't. It don't feel good. When she become born again, oh, my Lord. I have to trust, you know, her spiritual discernment because I didn't have very much. Well, bless your heart. 2014, I become born again. Guess what? I started gaining spiritual discernment. I was telling Brother Scotty one time, me and April done this crazy thing. It's been back last year, I think. We decided to go off on a Saturday afternoon about 2 o'clock, take a ride over to North Georgia where I'm from. We got home at 1 o'clock in the morning. We came to church. Boy, it was rough. But as we was going through Ringgold, Georgia on Highway 41, and I was in the front. Well, no other cars or vehicles on the roads in front or behind us. It was kind of a straightaway. And there was this young man, probably 18, 20, I don't know. He had on some overalls. I couldn't tell what kind of shoes he was wearing. He had real bushy hair. And he was walking along the road, and he happened to look up and see us, and he hunkered down like this, and there was some tall grass on the road, and he jumped over in it. I'm thinking, what in the world is he doing? Then he raised his head up and looked at us, and then he'd get back down. Then he jumped over here in the tall grass, even taller, and he raised his head up and looked at us. And I was like this. You know, he's doing this all the way we was passing him. Man, that's weird. What's going on? We went on down the road just a little further, and this man and woman were walking down the road, and this woman was one of them ladies that, she kept makeup company in business, to put it that way. But her face looked like a clown face to me, except it had a demonic like appearance. It wasn't nothing funny looking. Just painted up, you know, like a one of them things you see in a scary movie. Done that looking, and then I could see her natural face. So a little while later, not that day, I asked the Lord, it kept staying on my mind, what is going on? You know, I'm seeing stuff that ain't there, and then boom, you know, it goes back to normal. Well, the Lord said, that's your vision. I said, well, what's it for, Lord? And the Lord's making me more and more aware of the demonic presence in this world. Do you know why? Well, if you see it and you're born again, you see what you're fighting. It ain't like you're, you know, Paul said, it's not like I beat the air. There's a real enemy out there. So the Lord said, that's the kind of stuff in people's life that don't live for me that you're fighting against. In a spiritual world, a spiritual realm. Now, I haven't got but a few minutes. Maybe I can do this in that time. Now, the reason we know, I got one more scripture to go to, Beth, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Now, Jesus is, the author of Hebrews is saying what Jesus has said. He's quoting Jesus. But it came from a scripture back in the Old Testament. Jesus only came for one reason. You know, you can categorize it, do whatever. He come to do the will of the Father. He said that. And he says right here, for this first or outer tabernacle is a symbol that is an... What? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not exactly what I wanted. I can read it out of my Bible, but... Oh, okay. Now, this is the author of Hebrews quoting Jesus out of the Old Testament. He said, then he said, behold, Jesus is talking. You see the quotation marks? It's Jesus talking. I have come to do your will, talking about the Father. And so he does away, Jesus, with the first covenant as a means of atoning for sin based on animal sacrifices. So that he may inaugurate. That word inaugurate, I looked it up, means to bring about something new. And establish the second covenant by what? Means of obedience. When Jesus was obedient to God, God's will was carried out. Brother Scotty got a saying I like real good. Find the will of God and you'll be in faith. Because you'll be in obedience. And then he says, in accordance with this will of God, we who believe in the message of salvation have been sanctified, that is, set apart as holy for God and His purposes through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, once for all. You don't have to get saved 200, 300, 400 times. If you believe the first time and God sees your heart and knows you believe, you're a changed person. It says it more than one place in the Bible. And with that change comes about lots of stuff. Now, Brother Scott has got another scripture. If y'all would, I didn't ask Beth to put these up there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope I've got enough time to do this, because this is the word the Lord gave me. When you get there, we're going to be doing 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And then hold your place and go to Ephesians chapter 6. And this is how the Lord explained it to me, so this is the way I'm going to say it. And I asked the Lord this morning, Lord, help me to say this where it makes sense, because this old hick boy from Georgia has got a bad habit of, sometimes if I act on my own, I'm confusing. Quit shaking your head, yes, April. I just admitted it. I don't mean to be, but it comes out that way sometimes. Okay, Monty, you know where it's at. There we go. Now, I'm going to read this out of my Bible. It should be the same thing up there. I don't have to, by the way, I'm going to tell you this little story real quick. I only got a few minutes. Brother Scotty keeps saying, and he quotes the scriptures all the time, and he said, Lord woke me up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Read this, meditate this, memorize this. And Scotty said, it will transform your life. He said, it transformed my life. Three weeks ago, that finally got down in here, and I said, praise God. If he wakes somebody up in the middle of the night, there's something in there that I'm not catching. So I went to asking God, I said, Lord, whatever's in there that you give to Scotty, I'm asking for it. I want to see what's in there, and not because I'm just looking for something new. I want to see this transformation, because, in my head, I feel like I'm transforming about not as much as I can, baby. I'm transforming. Yeah, praise God. But I got to believe we're reading the scripture and memorizing it, and holy God Almighty, thank you, Lord. Now, this is what the Lord said when he revealed it to me. This happened at work, and I texted Brother Scotty about a thing this long, and I texted to him about like I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to read it. The Lord said, and I'm memorizing in my hand, I said, the Lord said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And then go over here to Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 12. And God said, no, the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, the Holy Spirit said in my spirits, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That verse took on a whole new banner, praise God, hallelujah, shouting outfit for me, buddy. I mean, I know that. I've read that. But praise God, Then I said to myself, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the Holy Spirit said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to say this real quick. You know what the breastplate of righteousness is? You put that on and say, this is what Christ did for me. We're made righteous through Jesus, only way. And then the Holy Spirit kept talking, and he said, and your feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace, I think. The preparation of the gospel of peace. What do you do when you prepare? You study something. You learn it. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with prayer and supplications in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And I said, praise God. I know all these scriptures. I can't quote them by memory, just in Ephesians, but I know them. My head knows them. Now my heart knows them. Then I said, okay, Lord, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now turn over to Romans chapter 2. I got to hurry. I'm sorry, chapter 12. Hallelujah, Lord. The Lord knows us all. And I'm not, you know, I'm special to God, but I'm not special in that I'm better than anybody else. God will give you what you need. This is the way God and Holy Spirit give it to me. Now, after I read verse 5, the Holy Spirit said this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what transforms your life. Transform my life. Now, I got to hush, but I won't keep talking. But I don't want to get in trouble. That's the way God worked it out for me. I didn't need to know all the details, but I needed to know how to link it together. When you're born again, you have legally accepted and defeated Satan and taken back what he's taken from you. Rule. That's all I got to say. I'm going to stop. Anybody got anything they'd like to say? Praise the Lord, and I love y'all. We're recessed till 11.